Hey guys, welcome to It's a Bronx Story,
a podcast by two lifelong Yankee fans about all things Yankees.
All right, so we got another nice episode to record today because the Yankees have swept the Royals, their third sweep in a row, 9 wins in a row, 11 of their last 12. They're scoring runs. They scored 5 plus every game this series. So, I mean, they didn't. They scored 3 yesterday, but they shut out the Royals. So, the pitching has still been good for the most part. And yeah, we're also going to talk about the Mets combined no-hitter, how we feel about that. We'll talk about, now I'm drawing a blank, I'll let you add into that.
Just kind of keeping a check on the former Yankee players, you know, that left. So want to just see how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so obviously, as always, we'll start with the series, and that obviously begins with game one. This was a close game until the seventh inning, and then the Yankees were just like, you know what?
Well, it started off like it looked like it was going to be a laugher because we started the game with 3 runs, and like like we said when this series started, we had our 3 aces going. You know, we had Cortez, Cole, and then Seve to close game 3. So we felt like we should have swept this series, right?
Yeah.
So it started off really well. We scored 3 runs in the first inning. Also, this game was on Apple TV, and it feels like the Apple TV broadcast was better than the Yankees broadcast because we had Beltran and Flash doing commentary for the last 2 games.
Yeah, so that speaks to how bad Beltran and Flash are as a combination because, I mean, the broadcast in terms of the camera angles and the graphics and everything, that was all pretty good. I mean, the camera work was incredible, the best in any baseball game I've ever watched. But the graphics were okay. Like, they were all kind of like that Apple style.
Yeah, I didn't like the black transition in between things. I thought it could have been more done, but like it looked nice. You know, the production value of it looked nice. They put a lot of effort into it.
But that broadcast was one of the worst broadcasts I've ever watched, and easily the worst national broadcast team that I've ever watched. Like, that was really bad. I remember Stanton hit a home run and absolutely destroyed the ball, and they were like, oh, and there's a drive. He absolutely killed that one, a Stantonian blast, with, like, no energy.
Yeah. It was not good, but it got worse over the next 2 games with Flash. Flash does not talk at all, and he was the main guy because Beltran is new, so he's, you know, obviously not going to do great. So it was like they really had their C tier, maybe even F tier if I'm being honest, but they had their C tier, you know, crew doing this. So it wasn't the best.
Yeah,
the game started really well. DJ started with a double, and then Rizzo, 2 batters later, hits another home run. He's, you know, the hottest hitter probably on the Yankees, arguably. Seems like Judge has now gotten hot.
I think someone has taken that over.
Yeah. So Rizzo hits a 2-run home run, and then, like you said, Stanton hits a home run, which they had no energy. You couldn't even tell it was a home run just by the way they sold it, you know. It was like, and he hit a bomb. It was to center field. It was a bomb.
Yeah.
So we're up 3-0, and it's already feeling like it's going to be a laugher, right?
Yep. Yep. And they had a guy named Bubich pitching. So, I mean, dude has a 10 ERA.
Coming into the game, he had like a 14 ERA, I think.
I don't really think many people expected this one to be close, but I mean, Nestor didn't have his A stuff today. He only gave up 2 runs and has a 1.31 ERA right now. So it's not like it was a bad game, but he definitely didn't have his A stuff. He gave up a run in the first and second inning.
So in that first inning, the first hitter, Nicky Lopez, he had like a 10 pitch at bat. So it was almost immediately, they were down 3-0, but you knew they were going to fight back just because that first at bat, like he was able to see every pitch that Cortez was throwing. He, ultimately, Lopez struck out, and that, I don't think he strikes out that often.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. But, you know, he's just kind of a pesky guy. So he got his pitch count up to, like, 10 after that first hitter. And you're like, okay, maybe Cortez doesn't have his best stuff right now. And then he gives up a double to Merrifield, who is, you know, arguably the worst hitter in the majors right now. Like, he's swinging a pool noodle. Like, he just can't hit. He's hitting, like, 100. Literally 100.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, the run scored on a... on a Sal Perez double that was just like
should have been a
fluke double.
Yeah, it should have been caught if the outfield wasn't shifted the way it was, because like even Sal, like he hit it. It wasn't like, you know, it was just a normal fly ball to the left fielder if they were playing the way they normally do.
It was very weird to me that they were shifted for an opposite field hit on Salvador Perez, who's a righty, against Nestor, who doesn't really throw particularly hard. So, like, I'm not exactly sure why the shift was like that, but they scored a run like that, and then the second inning...
It was a 1-2-3 inning for the Yankees. They're nothing, you know, they had the bottom of the lineup just because, you know, the top half, you know, in that first inning got a lot of damage done, so I think it was IKF, LoCastro, and Higgy, you know, goes down.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you can go.
Yeah, that second inning was kind of adventurous. You know, Bobby Witt hits a double, and then he kind of tries to make things happen. He definitely has third stolen, and then he runs, and Glaber just in the rundown kind of has like a brain fart. You want to kind of talk about that? What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it was odd because at first you thought Glaber was just going to tag him because he had the jump on him, but. I think Glaber didn't realize how fast Bobby Witt was once Bobby Witt started to get going. And Glaber should have thrown it to DJ at third to just get the easy out. But I think he was like, all right, I'm just gonna catch him and tag him out. But he never caught him. And then Bobby Witt slid into the bag. And Glaber kind of took his momentum and like basically ran into Bobby Witt. But I think the ump was going to be like, the umps were just like, he would have come off the bag anyway with the way he slid. So like... we're just going to call him out, even though Glaber definitely assisted in him coming off the bag.
Yeah.
But we got the out. Mike Matheny got thrown out because of that one. I think rightfully so. Like, you can't just assume necessarily Bobby Witt would have come off the bag because Glaber definitely impacted it. But it, the way he slid, it looked like it would have been very difficult to completely
slid it without Glaber coming at him, but Glaber did not help the situation. Also, I do think he would have like stayed, like he had his back, like his hand, I think he could have like stopped himself and kept holding on, but you never know. It's just a tough, like it's a tough call. It was a judgment call. I think ump called it wrong, but you know, you can't really overturn that. It's a judgment call. Glaber just lost in the game of tag. You know, he was just, Witt was just too fast, beat him to third base, should have thrown it, but, you know, what can you do? We get an out on it.
Yep. Yeah, and then what ended up being... Because then they scored... Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Oliveras got a single, and then Michael A. Taylor got another single to score Oliveras because of pass ball by Higgy. I forgot about that. If Higgy didn't have that pass ball, the runner would never been on second base. They would have never gotten a run this inning. So that's unfortunate. But they ended up scoring another one. And then
that makes it 3-2. And this is, you know, one run ball game. And it's very close just because Cortez is giving up hits. And you're like, okay, he does not have his best stuff right now.
Yeah. And then over the next four innings, nothing really happened at all. There were a few runners on base situations for both teams, but no scoring happened. And then in the seventh inning, everything kind of opened up for the Yankees in the top half of the inning. We got, what do we have? Did we get the bases loaded to start that out? DJ scored, Hold on, I have to remember. I thought it was bases loaded and they scored on a passed ball.
I remember, no, that, you know what that is? That was what? Aaron Judge against the Orioles.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah, okay. So DJ comes up, gets a single to score IKF, and then it's first and second for Judge, who then comes up and hits a three-run home run, and now it's 7-2. So it goes from 3-2 to 7-2, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, Laffer's back on.
Yep.
And the Yankees didn't
just kept hitting.
Yeah, they didn't really slow down. That's all they scored in the seventh, but then they came out in the eighth. Gleyber hit a two-run home run, which, by the way, when he hit this, they were talking about Gallo coming in to pinch run as he was hitting the ball, Gleyber, and then they were like, oh, and that's into the bullpen.
Yeah.
I thought Gallo, because I looked away for a second, I thought Gallo was hitting, and he hit a home run, and then I realized it was Gleyber, and it was just a very strange broadcast. But that then made it 9-2, and we got some more runners on, and then Higgy hit a double down the line to score two more, or three more, cleared the bases.
Cleared the bases.
Yep. And it's 12-2, and that's pretty much where we ended that game.
Yeah. I think that there was nothing.
Oh.
The only thing of note was that the game ended early. There was a rain delay. There was a thunderstorm, so my bet got canceled, and I couldn't win. They gave me back my money because it wasn't a full nine-inning game. That's the only thing of note.
Oh, so I'm pretty so mad annoying.
About that. Yeah. The bet was, it was a parlay, and it had everything, every leg hit, and the Yankees just needed to win by two runs or more, and they were up by 10.
That's so annoying.
Yeah. So I got paid out as if everything else happened without that Yankee game, but it was like, you know, that increases, so it was annoying. So I was like, I was pissed.
I can't imagine the odds were that crazy of an increase for that game, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that's game one. The Yankees are now on a 7-game win streak at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then game two was much, much different in terms of how the game happened. We had Cole on the mound, so we kind of went into the assumption that the Royals weren't going to score a lot of runs. But at this point, the Yankees had scored 10-plus in 3 out of 4 games.
Yeah.
Or 4 out of 5 or something.
So to start this game as well, Judge was not in the lineup either.
Yeah.
So that was something that we wanted to note. So I think it was, who was playing in his spot?
Lukash or...
I think Stan, it was because Stan. DJ... Yeah, because DJ was the DH. Yeah, so Stanton was on the field. Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, that's his second day off this year. So we're, that was 21, the 21st game of the season. He's had 2 days off. Like, that puts him, if he doesn't get hurt and they keep that up, that means he plays, quick math, like, 146-ish games in the season. So... I mean, I'd be happy with... I'd like him to play 150, if possible. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the ultimate goal. But if he stays healthy for 140, that's fine. But, yeah. So, Judge got the day off. The lineup still looked good. Like, it's not really a week that week. I mean, obviously, if you take out an MVP-caliber player, your lineup's not going to be as good. But we didn't have, like, LeCastro or Marwin Gonzalez or anyone playing.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the only... major absence of it. Other than him, we had our whole lineup in.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like this game we can kind of speed through because it ended at 3-0. Garrett Cole came out. He didn't have his strikeout stuff, but he was definitely in the zone a lot better than he was in Detroit. Obviously, his strikeout stuff wasn't working quite as well as it was against Cleveland. However, he ended with 6 strikeouts, only walked 2, 5 hits, no runs, 6 innings pitched. Like, he could have gone 7 if this is later in the season, but...
So, first time in his career, he went back-to-back starts with 6 innings and 5 or less hits and 0 earned runs. So, that's kind of, you know, I'm surprised that's the first time he's ever done it, but quietly has brought in his ERA back to 3. So I think to start this game, it was at 4, maybe a little bit more than that.
I think it was exactly 4.
It was exactly 4? Yeah, so now it's exactly 3. So he's turning it around. I still don't think he's had his best stuff so far this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, nothing to complain about. You know, he's getting us, you know, it seems like he had his rough start in Detroit, but he's kind of moved past it, and I expect even better stuff in the future, even though he's given up back-to-back starts with no runs, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, and it says a lot about your expectations for a player when he had 6 strikeouts and we're saying he didn't have his best stuff. Like, 6 strikeouts is, like, a pretty decent day for a lot of pitchers, but Garrett Cole is, like, not your everyday pitcher, and he didn't have his best stuff and still got 6 strikeouts. His fastball looked good to that game. It was everything else wasn't quite as good as it can be. Yeah. So this is 2 starts in a row now where Garrett Cole has looked like what we need him to look like. So if he can just string together 6 or 7 straight starts of 2 or less earned runs, like I think then you're safe to say, all right, there's not a need to worry about Garrett Cole anymore. Like he's gonna do his thing.
Yep. So I think a couple things of note for me. There was no home runs in this game, so no one, you know, went deep. But Rizzo got caught stealing, which he would have been safe if he didn't, like, try to check home plate to see, like, he just kind of, like, did a double check just to see where the ball was. And then, you know, by doing that, he was just out. Like, they just tagged him out.
Yeah.
So Rizzo seems to be trying to steal a lot more this year, which I kind of like. You know, I want the Yankees to be more active on the base pass. And then Gallo had 2 hits today, or 2 hits that game, and then was taken out with a groin injury.
Yeah, and so kind of fast forwarding to today, we'll go back to this game, but I didn't catch the beginning of the game. I had some baseball games. What was the update for Gallo? I'm sure they gave one. Like, is there any timetable, or is it just...
They just said a groin injury. I'm not sure what the timeline is going to look like. They haven't put him on, like, any IL yet. They just said, you know, he has a groin injury. I expect him to be on the IL, and I expect Andujar to take his spot. But they haven't announced when they expect him to recover or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, and he got the groin injury trying to beat, or when he beat out a ground ball. It just, he landed on the base funny. It's one of those plays where you can kind of see. So I'm sure it's nothing very serious, because he stayed in the game after that. I think, and then he just realized it was a bit uncomfortable. So hopefully it's just a couple games off and he's fine. But our scoring this game was just, IKF hit into a double play, but we had the bases loaded, I believe, and no out. So it just got a run in. Glaber had a sac fly, and IKF had a sac fly. So that's all the scoring, but the pitching was, again,
was the story. Incredible. Yeah, Cole 6 innings, and then our bullpen, you know, 3 scoreless innings, and Chapman had a very clean 9th inning. You know, he's kind of adventurous out there, sometimes getting into trouble, but, you know, clean, 1-2-3, nothing to worry about, we're done.
Yeah, today was not the same story, but... Yeah, so that's game 2. The Yankees, 8-game winning streak, 15-6, best record in baseball.
To end the month, we ended with the best record in not just the AL, but in all of baseball, because the Mets later lost in that day. So we have the best record in baseball, which is very nice. I think a lot of fans, you know, were not expecting that. I think a lot of people were saying 4th place, which is just wild to me that people were predicting us as a 4th place team. I get it. The AL East is competitive, but they had us as a 4th place team, or at least a lot of, you know, fans did.
I think our fan base is, like, the Yankees fan base in general is very doom and gloom for a large portion of the fan base. But, like, if you just, like, take your bias out of it, and I get, you could say the Rays, because the Rays have this sort of magic. Their team on paper is not as good as the Yankees. But, like, if you look at Boston, and what they did in the offseason and how they came into the season and sit there and say they're the better team out of the two teams, like, that's outside just ridiculous. Outside of the
story signing, they did nothing.
They got and worse.
If they didn't sign Story, they would be the talking point of the offseason saying, why did the Red Sox not do anything to help their team that just went to the ALCS?
Yeah, right? And lost Schwarber and Renfro. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
They lost. Those were two huge people for their offense last year. They replaced them with
Jackie Bradley Jr.
And Rob Refsnyder. Like, sure, they added Trevor Story. That's all they did. Like, they got Matt Strom. Cool. They have a horrible bullpen. Now Garrett Whitlock is a starter.
Yeah, they got Jake Diekman. That was kind of like their improvement for their bullpen. I know they got Matt Strom, but it wasn't really, you know, nothing to write home with. And then, like, their pitching rotation did absolutely nothing to help that. And they started the year with Sale on the IL.
So yeah, Paxton is one of the best pitchers on their roster, and he was already obviously he got Tommy John, so he's hurt to start the season, but now that Sale's hurt, they have Nate Eovaldi, and that's it. Pivetta hasn't looked good.
Nope.
Rich Hill is Rich Hill. Who else do they even have? Whitlock they is have a starter
Tanner,
now.
Tanner.
Hauk is in the bullpen now.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the toll that in, which is wild to me, because they have Whitlock starting tomorrow, and I think it's tomorrow, maybe it's Wednesday, but they have Whitlock back in the rotation, which was not their plan at all. I don't think
very, very not good stuff going on, but we're not a Red Sox podcast. It's just ridiculous to put them ahead of us in the beginning of the season, and now you're seeing why. And the Rays also aren't playing that great. So, right now it's the Yankees and Jays. The Jays are right behind us, so can't take the foot. Well, we play them tomorrow. This series that starts tomorrow is going to be huge, and we'll preview that later. But now let's move on to Game 3. We had Rizzo sitting today. Andujar starts because Gallo is hurt. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting. Andujar went 2-for-4 today, so that was fun to see.
Yeah, I want to see him have his chance. You know, yesterday he also had a pinch hit experience just because, you know, Gallo was out. But I want to see what he can do with some, you know, playing time, just because his rookie year, man, you know, Mickey Two Bags. You know, I want to see him do well.
But I would say the only reason that happens is for trade value, because even if he does well, like, where is he going to play? He can't play defense.
He has no spot.
Yeah, we need our DH spot for rest for players, clearly. So I love him. Like, I wish him the best, but I think he's got to just boost his trade value and send him off somewhere for a little bit in return. But yeah, I'll let you take a bunch of this recap, because I missed the first.
Yeah. The first. Bit so of the game. We start this game. So it's Seve versus Daniel Lynch, is his name. Mm-hmm. So the first hitter DJ has a 12 pitch at bat, which was just a really great sign. You know, we're making him work. We see like all of his pitches. You know, like, DJ loses the battle, but, you know, it's a really good tone to start the game when you're able to get the pitch count, like, really long like that. And then Judge wastes no time to get us on the board, hits a home run to center field, and he hits a bomb. Like, that was a bomb.
Yeah, and a slight disclaimer. We only have 9.5 minutes. Apparently, my Zoom... I've never gotten this message before. We have 9 minutes left until the Zoom ends, so we gotta speed things up here in this episode. Seve didn't have his best stuff. It was kind of like his Detroit outing. I mean, he's still sitting at like a 3.75 ERA, so it definitely can rebound easy. So, only gave up 3 runs.
Yep, it was really the third inning that, you know, he faced some problems. Like, he just couldn't put hitters away. Like, He had good stuff, I think. It's just that he just couldn't locate. You know, he just got hit a little bit. And then, you know, he just gave up three runs, and it sucked. But, you know, he did rebound from that inning. You know, gave up one more run, but it was an unearned run. He could have gotten into some real problems in the fourth because they had men on first and second. They bunted, and that's how they scored the run, is that Josh Donaldson tried to throw to second and kind of threw it away and got the runner to score off that error. And, you know, he bounced back from that, was able to get out of that inning, only allowing that one unearned run. So that was good. So we're down 4-1 in the fifth. And then in the fifth inning, IKF starts the inning with a double, and then DJ just, you know, gets a single to score him, which is, you know, really nice. What else? I'm trying to remember. We had the bases loaded. So we had bases loaded, and then Aaron Judge was up at bat, no outs. Mm-hmm. And you kind of think that, okay, he's feeling it now. Like, he's going to, you know, come through. He did come through, but not in the way you would think. He kind of hits like a little, like, soft hit, like kind of check swing, kind of the ball kind of like just comes in and, like, you know, grounds out to the first baseman very softly, but it does the job, gets the runner in, and we're tied 4-4 at that point. And then Josh Donaldson comes in. They have their defense, you know, brings them in because they want to get the runner out at home if it comes to them. They get the situation they want. You know, Josh Donaldson hits it to the shortstop, but he kind of, you know, boots it a little. Like, he doesn't have a good, like, grab. Mm-hmm. Tries to throw home, and the runner is able to score. Rizzo, he's able to score just before the tag, so we're up 5-4.
Yeah, and that was kind of the end of that inning. I mean, Clark Schmidt and Mike King both completely stole the show in terms of pitching. King had 1.2 mm-hmm. innings pitched. Clark Schmidt only had one, but mm-hmm. neither of them gave anything up.
Yep. King came into a kind of sticky situation that Lutke had. They were up 5-4. Lutke gave up two hits, and there was only one out in the inning. And then mm-hmm. King just comes in and just, like, cleans up, gets through it. So, yeah, like you said, King was great. And then Judge in the ninth gives us a one-run cushion by hitting another home run, yep. Second of the game.
Eighth really of the good year.
Series for him.
Tied for second for lead league with Rizzo in first. And mm-hmm. Chapman comes in. He gets himself into a little bit of trouble. Got first and second, and the winning run was up to the plate. But then he kind of shut the door and ended the game. And the Yankees swept again. Third sweep in a row. 9-game winning streak. Best record in baseball. 16-6. Mm-hmm. Did what we had to do. Beat the bad team. And now we go into a Blue Jays series where we're not going to have our top pitchers. We're going to have Monty, Tyone, and then we'll have Nestor. So,
like, I was going to say that. So we miss out on, you know, we had all our aces go this series. So we're going to miss out, except for Cortez, but we're going to miss out Cole and Seve in this series. But the Blue Jays also had their big pitchers, you know, go. They had Gausman pitch today, and they had Berríos the day before. So I think the only big guy that is going is Manoah.
And then we get Kikuchi, and mm-hmm. I'd imagine it's going to be Stripling. I don't think Ryu's back.
Yep. So tomorrow's, just to preview the series, tomorrow we have Monty versus Ross Stripling. If you're going, I think every game, I think the starter that you have kind of tells you which team is more likely yep. to win, right? The guy that's on the bump sets the tone. Yep. So Monty versus Stripling, I feel good about Monty versus Stripling. Second game, it's Tyone versus Manoah. I think Manoah has been awesome, so I would give the Blue Jays the edge in the second game. And then the third game is who is it? It's going to be Kikuchi versus, I expect it to be Cortez, you would expect.
Yeah, we'd have the upper hand there. So 2 out of 3 is definitely possible. I mean, a sweep is possible, but let's look to win the series. Like we said, if we're in a position to sweep, we will record on Wednesday, like, live mm-hmm. during the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll figure out we'll see how we get there. We have 3.5 minutes left for the rest of this episode, so let's jump into our Yankees recap right now. A lot of them are on the IL. It's Gary, Voit, and
Gio.
Heaney, if you want to include him. Clint. Is Gio on the IL?
No.
No, but these
guys. Oh, you're just Gary. Talking about all yeah. guys.
Everyone's Gary's, hurt. It.
Gary's actually playing now. He had like some abdominal issues, okay. And he played all three games of the series against Tampa.
So Clint and Gary are the only healthy ones, really. And
yeah.
I don't think either of them are doing very good.
Gio's doing pretty well. You could say he's doing better than Donaldson, although Donaldson had a lot of clutch hits. So I think that's pretty much a shove. I think, you know, Gary, I think if you look at just individual stats, maybe he's doing better. But I think
hitting, not defense.
And his hitting is not that great. You know, yeah. It's like marginally above. So I will take our catching staff, and then obviously Voit is hurt, and you see what Rizzo's doing.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a
yeah. And then Clint's
that's
Clint.
A, yeah. Yep.
I don't
know. So obviously, see? You know, our group has us at the best record in the AL, so I wouldn't change much.
Yeah. Yeah. And so touch on the Mets quick. So they had five pitchers pitch in this combined no hitter. To me, like, it's cool, yeah, but it doesn't hold nearly the same amount of specialness to me because it's five pitchers. Like, yeah, if you have a guy go 8 innings or 7 innings and you have one reliever come in and get the rest of it, that's pretty cool. But five pitchers is just too much to me.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could say the odds of having five pitchers be, you know,
yeah.
No hit. Like, it takes a lot because, like, it takes five because it just takes one guy to mess up and mess it up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not as cool a combined no hitter. We had another no hitter alert. Framber was pitching against the Blue Jays, and he had a no hitter go into, I think, the seventh.
Yeah. Yeah. And whoever on the. Was it the. Someone on the Rangers had a no hitter against the Astros for. For a while.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. Like, good for them. Their second career their second all time no hitter. And it's a combined no hitter, so they have one real no hitter. But yeah, we have 1 minute left, so a bit of a shorter episode today. I have to figure out what's going on with the Zoom. I'm not sure why that's a thing. But yeah, so if you enjoyed the episode, check it out, or check us out on Twitter and Instagram at The Bronx Story. Leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, and like and leave a comment on YouTube if you're watching there. So as always, let's go Yanks.
Let's go Yankees. Let's play ball. Let's continue the winning times.
All right. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
See ya. Bye.